Hey, Harvest. Good morning, everybody. And I saw that there were some people not from Harvest, but you're from Harvest. We're all the body of Christ. And so it's good to see you all. I'm going to ask if you would turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 20. That's where we're going to be, is Deuteronomy chapter 20. I hope that you're prayed up, ready to receive everything that God has for you. And get your cup of coffee, right? And so last week I asked everybody if you would just take a picture kind of your setting and then send it to the Harvest page. All right, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to go ahead and take a picture and just post it right in the comments. Just do that. Man, I'm missing you guys' faces, and I really want to see you guys, and I miss you tremendously. And so, man, please, I'm thankful for those that went ahead and posted some pictures. Do that just right there in the comments. I don't know, it can be distracting to everybody, but it's all right. Right? And so we're going to open up the Word. I'm trusting that God will meet us right where we are. Thank you, Mason, for taking the time to prepare and work out this whole new system. Sorry about the volume issues and those different things. We have a completely different system than we've had the last two times. And thank you guys for being understanding, letting us know when it's working, when it's not working. We're just trying to be better at this. You got a bunch of guys who have no idea what they're doing, trying to do something. And I posted a live video on my own Facebook this morning just how grateful I am that we even have this as an option, as an opportunity to gather, at least through social media. That's why I'm liking seeing the comments, hey, good to see you, waving, is everybody being part of this? So grab your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 20. I want to share with you a passage of scripture that God gave me a few years ago. I've revisited it this week and really last week, just considering some different things because it's very easy for me to get overwhelmed. It's easy for me to be consumed with things that's going on around me. And if I'm not careful, I start fighting battles that really aren't battles to be fought. And I start treating things like a battle when they really aren't. And so last week, we spent some time in Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 5, identifying what the true essentials are, the fact that if you are a believer in Christ, you are essential to this world. We can meet people's physical needs, meet people's spiritual needs. We got to get the gospel out, and sometimes you have to do that by reaching people in a very physical way. Well, today I want to shift gears and go to Deuteronomy chapter 20, just the first four verses. We're not going to get very far. Just the first four verses, and help us to identify what our real battles are. Because just like I said just a moment ago, I fight things that really aren't what I should be fighting. And our weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so the Bible makes it very clear where our enemy truly is. And we'll get to that here in just a few moments. But I want to remind you, kind of set the stage of what's going on when you get to Deuteronomy chapter 20. God had led the nation of Israel through Moses out of the nation of Egypt, out of bondage. And that pictures for us a believer getting saved. We'll come to that in just a few moments. So he's led them out of Egypt, and he's taking them through the wilderness. And they've been through the wilderness for 40 years. Now, can you imagine being on lockdown, completely separated from society for 40 years? That's exactly what's happening here. And so for 40 years, they've been wandering this wilderness. They get to the River Jordan. It's about time to cross it over. And Moses clears off a spot and gives them this book of Deuteronomy. He gives them three different messages through the book of Deuteronomy to remind them of everything that's gone through, everything that they've endured, and to remind them of what God has said to them. And I love chapter 20 because he prepares them for battle. He's preparing them for what's getting ready to happen when they cross over the river. They're going to go into Jericho, and they're going to take on Ai, and they're going to take on all these different places you can read about in the book of Joshua. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 20, he's preparing them. He's preparing them for those battles to come. And so I want to read verses 1 to 4. I want to pray. And then we're going to jump right into this. And just to give you a heads up, I'm a wee bit excited about this passage. And I hope by the end of this, you are too. All right, so Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 1 to 4. Let me put my coffee down, grab my glasses here. Verses 1 to 4, we're going to read it, and then we're going to pray. He says in chapter 20, verse 1, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh to the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." Let's pray. Lord, I need you. Oh, we need you. I'm grateful for your word. Lord, your word always meets us right where we are. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me as your vessel. What an honor it is to be able to proclaim your truth to your people. Lord, my prayer is that today's message would be eye-opening and yet very, very encouraging as we identify where our real battle is, who our real enemies are. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak. Lord, that you would use me mightily. And Lord, I would not take this. Lord, that we would not take this opportunity for granted. Lord, I'm thankful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I have no idea why I got emotional there, but I miss you guys. And I know some of you are going through it. You're going through some difficult issues. You look around the world and we go, okay, what in the world's going on? And it's brought us to this point that I'm looking into a camera and I'm preaching the word of God, trusting that God's word is going to go through these airwaves into your ears and into your hearts. If we're not careful, we can think our battle is with people not staying at home, or our battle is against a virus, or our battle is against other people, our neighbors, or whoever stole the last can of green beans at the grocery store. I went to the grocery store yesterday and I tried to buy flour and there wasn't any flour. I was going to buy yeast because I want to start making bread. There wasn't any of that. And I started getting an attitude towards those that already bought it. Well, they got there before me. They wanted to do the same thing. So it's a little bit of a heart check for me. And so Deuteronomy chapter 20, I want you to see what he says here in verse 1. He says, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies." When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies. All right, so here's the very first point. You are going to face real battles because you have real enemies. Notice what he says, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies." You are going to face real battles because you have real enemies. And sometimes we're fighting people and fighting things that really aren't our enemies. And we call things a battle that aren't really a battle. And so you are going to go through some real fights. And he's preparing the nation of Israel for this. He goes, hey, listen, this thing that you've been through in this wilderness, yeah, you've had some skirmishes. Yeah, you've had to deal with some stuff, but you've had to rely on me. You were hungry, and so I fed you with manna. You were thirsty, and so I fed you with water, I gave you water from a rock. I made sure that your clothes never went bad. I made sure that your shoes never wore thin after 40 years. And so he says, hey, wait, you've been through all of that, and yet now you have some battles to face. And so you will go through some real battles in life because you have real enemies. And I know what you're asking. Do I really have to go into battle? Do I really have to fight? I mean, I'd like to just take it easy for a change. Well, hold on a second. He says, when thou goest to battle against thine enemies. So the answer is yes, you have to go to battle because you can't avoid it. Now, you can do everything you can to avoid it, but you're never going to truly avoid it as a believer in Jesus Christ because it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. He says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies. Now, I want to remind you of a passage. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 11. We're not going to take the time to go there, but I want you to study this out for yourself. It's 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 to 5. And it starts out in verse 1 where he talks about how it's a time when the kings go forth to battle. That there was a time to fight, that there was a time to go to a warfare, and King David stayed back. He stayed up in his room. He self-isolated. right? He got away and he was walking out in the evening, out on his balcony. He sees a lady bathing herself in the water. Instead of turning around and shielding his eyes, he decides to go ahead and watch her. So there was a time to go to battle. Instead, he chose not to go fight a battle, and he entered into a warfare he wasn't even prepared for. So the question is not if, the question is when. And so David, he ends up having this battle between his flesh and the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he ends up grabbing this woman and having her brought to him, and he rapes her and impregnates her, and it turns into an absolute mess. And the reality is he's trying to avoid a battle and still found one. So for a believer, you will find some battles. You will fight some battles against some real enemies. It is going to happen. And so he says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies. So here's the second question you should be asking. Well, how will I know what my enemy looks like? Right? Because we have some frenemies. We have some people that are friends and sometimes turn out to be enemies. We have all kinds of different things that we question. Okay, are you really an enemy? Is this an enemy? Is this what I should be fighting? Or is it a good question? How will I know what the enemy looks like? Well, write this reference down. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Because that passage will let you know that you only have three enemies. You only have three. You have Satan, the world, and the flesh. Those are your three enemies. And that's where every single battle you fight as a believer are against one or more of those enemies at the same time. So you only have three. I only have three. We only have three enemies. The world system, right? Our flesh, the things that my flesh lusts after, right? And the devil, satanic activity, Satan attacking, Satan accusing, Satan whispering lies inside your head. And so you have three enemies. I have three enemies. And he says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies. They are individual. Believer, get this. These are individual. Yes, we all have the same enemies, but they're revealed to us in specific and different ways that are specific to your life and specific to who you are. He says, thine enemies. So you only have three. But I want you to see something. He says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, they've been through the wilderness. If they're not careful, to begin to mistake the wilderness for a battle. Do not mistake simple trials. Do not mistake time in the wilderness with the enemy. Don't do that. He's letting them know here in Deuteronomy chapter 20, you are in the wilderness. You've gone through it. You've gone through some hard times in the last 40 years, but that hasn't been the battle. The battle's yet to come. We got to understand that. We got to get that. So don't mistake a time in the wilderness for the enemy, because it's not. Here's what the wilderness does. It usually reveals the enemy. It's a time in the wilderness that reveals the enemy. Pastor Brian Clark in London, he says this, you don't get the juice without the squeeze. You got to get squeezed to find out what's really going on inside of you. All right, so you're in Deuteronomy. Look with me in chapter 8. Just flip over here to chapter 8 for a moment. We're going to do some Bible flipping. But look over here in chapter 8. He tells them why they're in the wilderness. He tells them exactly why they're in the wilderness. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, just the first few verses here. He says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Why? That ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Grab a hold of that. Maybe that needs to be your life verse. Hear the word of God. Obey the word of God. Do the word of God so that you might live and so that you might multiply, making disciples, reproducing your walk with Jesus and somebody else. Then go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Now he says, go in and possess the land. Well, that's what he's talking about in chapter 20. He says, you're going to go across some enemies. You're going to go fight against them. There's going to be a time where you have to possess the land. All right, so verse 2. He says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. Here's why they went to the wilderness. To humble thee, to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wast keep his commandments or no. The time in the wilderness is meant to reveal what's going on inside of you, not what is coming against you. That day's coming. But you're not going to be ready to fight anything against you if you're not already dealing with the things that are going on inside of you. And so how do you know what the enemy looks like? Well, it's only threefold. Now, it might have a different face, and it might look a little bit different for each and every one of us, but it's the same three enemies. And then he says in verse 3, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So the time of the wilderness is not meant for you to be fighting. The time in the wilderness is meant for you to be submitting, to relying on the Lord to provide for you. Hello, coronavirus stay-at-home order. That is not the enemy. That is the opportunity for the enemy to be truly revealed. All right, so go back to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. I'll let you make your way back there for a moment. So here's what he says again, verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them. All right. How will I know when to go to battle? That should be the next question. How do I know when to go to battle? I mean, do they bring the fight to me, or do I bring the fight to them? I mean, when do I go to battle against these enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil? When do I take the battle to them? Well, you'll know because of where the enemy sets up camp. That's the reality. He says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies. Well, where are the enemies? You'll know where they are by where they set up camp. And here's what I mean by that. It's where they set up camp. It's between you and the Lord. So when the enemy sits in between you and the Lord, you go to fight. Or it could be between you and where God would have you to be, where God would have you to go. That's when you fight the enemy. That is when you bring the battle to the enemy. And this coronavirus thing, the stay-at-home order, is not the enemy, but I'm telling you, it's going to reveal it in your life. It's going to reveal the enemy in your life, because I'm telling you, it's already happened. It's already happened. This time in the wilderness that you and I are in right now, it's already revealing who the enemy is, because your flesh wants to get fat and do nothing. Your flesh wants to eat cake and drink coffee all day. Hello, that's me. Your flesh wants to sleep in. Your flesh wants to say, you know what? I've got time to spend time with the Lord. I'll do that later. That's your flesh. You have Satan whispering in your ear. You ain't nothing. You're no good. No one remembers you. No one's called you. No one's contacted you. You're a little bit less than everybody else. And you start believing these little lies. And then the world system is against you. It's against you. And you look at things and you begin to consider some different things. I got news for you. This coronavirus is a time for us to submit to the Lord, reveal what's going on in our heart, and allow the enemy to stick its head up so we can take it out. Praise the Lord for this opportunity. It should begin to reveal the enemies in our life, and that is exactly what's happening here in Deuteronomy chapter 20. And we got to move on. So keep reading in verse 1. He says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and look at this, seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, I want you to hear this next point, and I want you to hear it pretty well, because I'm going to explain it here in a moment, because it's not going to sound right. You will be tempted to be afraid. You're going to be tempted to be afraid. But you need to choose to fear instead. What? Does that make any sense? Yeah, it makes complete sense. Because you're going to be tempted to be afraid of your enemy. You're going to be tempted to be afraid of the battle and the fight. And it's going to create massive amounts of anxiety inside of you. But you, instead of being afraid, choose to fear. Fear the Lord. Rely on Him. Revere Him. Reverence Him. Worship Him. Instead of worshiping your fight, instead of worshiping this thing that's consuming your thoughts and your mind and your life and this constant battle, instead of fearing it, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. He says, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. He says, don't be afraid. He says, be not afraid of them. So if you choose to be afraid of the enemy, here's what happens. You become spiritually paralyzed. You can't sleep. You can't think. You can't handle people. You can't do anything. No, you are completely spiritually paralyzed when you are afraid of the enemy. But when you fear the Lord, you are propelled to move forward and face the enemy head on. That is the reality. You fight them and you face them head on. All right, hold your spot. Come back with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I want you to read verse 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. Exodus 20, verse 20. He says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not. For God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. Listen, you can be afraid of the enemy, or you can choose to fear the Lord. That's the reality. You can be paralyzed in fear, or you can be propelled to serve the Lord. He says, for God has come to prove you. The time of the wilderness, the time of the battle is meant to prove you. Are you going to rely on the Lord or not? Are you going to trust him or not? Now, come with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. It's back to the right, 2 Kings chapter 6. If you don't get there, just write this reference down. I want to show you a passage. I know it's one of Pastor Mason's favorites. He absolutely loves this passage. He talks about it often. We sing a song, The God of Angel Armies. Well, I believe it comes from this passage. So I want to read this thing, and I want to relate it back to Deuteronomy chapter 20, and then I want to make a point. So 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha is the man of God, and he's got a servant that's helping him out, and there's some people not so happy about Elisha, and so they've come to where he's been quarantined, and they want to come in and they want to come and grab him. Verse 13. He said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. That's Elisha. And so here comes the enemy. Verse 14. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? I would have said, what shall we do? He says, how shall we? I mean, you know you're scared when you get it twisted, right? There's more to it. But he says, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? I mean, legitimately scared. I think I would have been too if I wake up, wipe the sleep out of my eyes, stretch, and look out, and the whole city is completely surrounded by horses and chariots and people wanting to destroy me. And of course he's scared. Verse 16, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, I'm sure Elisha's servant's done the math. He goes, 1, 2. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's like 40,000 of them out there. And there's two of us. What you talking about, Willis? What are you talking about? Fear not, for they be with us are more than they that be with them. Verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. I don't think it's of any coincidence that we just sang the song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. He says, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Oh. I'm worried about a physical battle. When God doesn't fight in physical ways, he fights in spiritual ways. And Elisha's like, dude, you need to chill out. You don't even realize. You don't even understand that when it appears that you are outnumbered, you are never outmatched. That is the truth. And there are times in your life where you're going to feel like you are completely outnumbered. But you need to realize that whenever you and God, you are the majority. Praise the Lord for that. If nobody else is around, if you just have you and the Lord, you are the majority because you cannot be outmatched. Verse 18, and when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. So he prays for one person to see and the rest of the enemies not to be able to see. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Come back over here to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. So having a godly fear reminds you that even when it appears that you are outnumbered, you are never outmatched. You should be singing hallelujah right now. You should be shouting amen right now. Romans chapter 8 verse 31 says this, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, that's the message you find here in verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 20. He says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Can we just hang on that just for a moment? He brought them out of the land of Egypt. That's the plagues. That's them taking the blood of the lamb and applying it to the doorposts. And the death angel coming through and killing all the firstborn. And then coming out of Egypt. And the Red Sea is now parted. And they crossed over on dry ground. And then the Red Sea drowns the entire army of Pharaoh. Yeah, that is what he's referring to. Which is a picture of your salvation and my salvation. In bondage in Egypt. And God can rescue you. God can save you. But it's done through the blood of a lamb. Praise the Lord. And doesn't mean the enemy's not going to come chasing you. Doesn't mean your old friends and your old life's not going to come after you. But when you submit to the Lord, I'm telling you what, it's amazing what God can do. And so he says this at the very end of verse 1, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Would you agree with me that your salvation was a big deal? Would you agree with me that salvation is impossible for God to be able to save man eternally? That is a massive task. For by the grace of God, we are saved, right? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way there. God did the work. By God's grace and my faith, you are saved. Well, I would say that's a pretty remarkable thing. What am I going to face in my life that's going to compare to that? God's ability to save me for eternity? And he's able to do that, and yet he's not able to fight this battle. He's not able to fight this thing that I'm going through right now. Listen, sometimes when you are going through a difficult time, and when you are facing an enemy that seems insurmountable, remember what God has already done in your life. Remember his salvation. And if God can save you for eternity and keep you firm in his hand, don't think for a second that he can't take on the enemy that you face every day. Don't think for a second he can't do that. If God be for us, who can be against us? The answer is nobody. Nobody can. All right, verse 2. We made it to verse 2. And it shall be, Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 2, and it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts be faint. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. All right, so I want you to see something. In verse 1, he says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies. Now look at verse 2. And it shall be when ye are come nigh to the battle, the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day. Here's why I love the Authorized Version, 1611. Here's why I love the King James Bible. Because other Bibles take and replace ye and thine with you. Well, you lose it. When he uses the word thine or thee, he's always talking about the individual, one person. But when he, every time he uses the word ye, it's always plural. Well, Tony, why does that matter? Here's why it matters. Because you should never be alone when you face the battle. You should never be alone when you take the battle to the enemy. You need brothers and sisters in Christ beside you. And here's what happens every single time. I'm telling you, it happens. We go through a hard time. We get difficult times, or the enemy starts to attack, or you getting ready to take the fight to the enemy. You isolate yourself. You separate yourself from everyone. You get away from them. You stop talking to them. You get away from your phone calls, and you're not, you don't hang around anymore. He makes it very clear here. Ye are come nigh to the battle. That means everyone is fighting together. He says, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. It's plural. You should not be alone when you take the battle to the enemy. You should not be alone when you take the battle to the enemy. You're getting ready to fight something? Call somebody. Hey, would you come with? Would you come be a part of this with me? Because I got a fight here that I don't think I can do on my own. Listen, you aren't the only one on the battlefield. You aren't the only one facing an enemy. Don't think it's only you. Well, they just don't understand. They don't know what I'm going through. Well, is that really true? Because you're not the only one on the battlefield, dear believer. Because every believer has the same three enemies. That every believer has the same three enemies. Now, the way it appears in your life may be completely different than how it appears in my life. Some of you are struggling with porn. Some of you aren't. Some of you are struggling with laziness. Some of you aren't. Some of you are struggling with having to be busy all the time and not being still. Some of you aren't. Listen, it reveals it completely different ways, and it's still the same fight. It's your flesh. It's the same fight. All right, look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I hope this is encouraging you. I really do. Hope you're blasting up photos and yelling amen and interacting as much as we possibly can. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, he says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Do you realize that? Don't think that you're the only one that's going through this, because that's not true. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. That's the reality. It's common. And don't think for a second you call a believer and say, hey, well, I need you to pray for me. I need to bring some things from the darkness into the light. And I need you to help fight this enemy with me. And guess what? They're fighting the same enemy. It might just have a different skin. It might just look a little bit different. So don't think for a second you need to fight this thing on your own. No, you need the Bible. You need the Word of God, and you need God's people. That's what you need. That kind of brings me to the next point. Notice what he says here in verse 2. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 2. And it shall be when ye are come nigh to the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel. He's going to remind them of some things that have already been written down. He's going to remind them some things that have already been spoken by the Lord. Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. What's happening? He's speaking the word of God into the situation. He says for them to hear. I know what some of you are thinking. Well, I just don't have the faith. Well, I need a little bit more faith. No, you need the word of God. That's how your faith grows. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to have it preached to you. You need to have it spoken into you. You need to read it out loud. Hear the word of God. You show me a believer who's weak in the faith, I'll show you a believer who's not in the book. You're not in the Bible if you're weak in the faith. That is a reality. So the only weapon you need, honestly, the only weapon you honestly need is the two-edged sword of God's word. That's the only weapon. And I made reference to this passage before, last week, I think. Look over here in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I don't want to unpack this. We don't have time to unpack it all, but I want you to see this. Ephesians chapter 6. I don't know if Ephesians is in my Bible anymore. Where is it? Go eat popcorn, right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to start in verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Not your own power, his power. Be strong, not in your own strength, but in his strength. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Not part of it, not just a little bit of it. The entire thing. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen, we're trying to fight physical things when God says, no, our fight is in the spiritual realm. He says, based on that, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. Second time he's told you to do that. In the mouth of two or three witnesses may every word be established. Take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. What do you mean, just stand? Yeah, stand. Stand therefore, verse 14. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. The only weapon you need is the word of God. Every bit of that armor is the word of God. And he says to be praying. Well, what should I be praying? Praying the word of God. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 20. When they were to go out against their enemies, you know what they're supposed to be having on their heart? The word of God. That's what's supposed to be on their heart. Right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so let's begin to land this plane. Look at verse 3. And shall say unto them, "Hear, O Israel, you approach this day into battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them." They're the ones that should be shaking in their boots. Right? James says, the devils believe God and tremble. Let them do the trembling. You don't need to tremble. Right? Because with you and God, you are the majority. You're not outmatched, nor are you outnumbered. It just might appear to be so. He says, don't tremble. Don't be terrified of them. Verse 4, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Here's the last major point. You should have confidence. You should have confidence because you have a not-so-secret weapon. You have a not-so-secret weapon. It's the Lord Most High. It's the Lord of hosts. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not a secret weapon, but sometimes we treat it as such. We treat him as such. Notice this. Verse 4, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies. We've got to get this. Any battle that we face, remember the enemy, right? The world, the flesh, the devil. We bring the battle to them when the enemy gets between me and the Lord. How's that working for you at this stay at home? What's keeping you between you and the Lord? Or keeping you from where God would have you to be? That's where the enemy always sets up camp, and that's where the battle always takes place. All right, understand this, that the battle does not belong to you. The battle belongs to the Lord. Every battle you face belongs to him. That means, get this, that means you've already won. And because you've already won, you get to focus on the solution and not the problem. Now, that's something freeing. You don't have to focus on the problem anymore because God's already taken care of that. You get to focus on the solution. Well, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? You get to focus on that. Come back here, verse 4. He says, for Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you. He wants to fight for you. Listen, you are never going to get victory over the flesh, the world, and the devil in and of yourself. It is not possible. He's the one that does the fighting. You don't have to fight. You just have to show up. Well, that'll preach. You don't have to fight. You just have to show up. Look over here in chapter 1, Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Look what happens in verse 29. He says, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 29. He says, "Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes." Sound familiar? Verse 31, "And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee," in other words, he took care of thee, "as a man doth bear his son in all the way that he went until ye came into this place." Notice this, it's singular and plural in that verse. He says, "all the way that you went until ye came into this place," verse 32, "yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God." You didn't believe. You didn't have faith. Well, what does that mean? You tried to fight the battle on your own. You weren't willing to even show up sometimes. And that was your way of fighting. Pretending that it would just go away. Listen, this fight belongs to the Lord, not you. And the only thing you have to do is show up. Now notice what he says here. For verse 4, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4. "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you." To save you. All right, so that is a deep thing. A couple things I want to pull out of that. The first one is this. Too many times we as believers, I want to say this right. We like the fight. We like the battle. We want to pretend that we're having a fight. We want to pretend that there's a war going on. So if you remember 1 Samuel chapter 17, where David is told by his father to go visit his brothers, and they're fighting the Philistines, and there's this guy named Goliath who comes out to fight, right? And there's no war going on. There's no fighting going on. All there is this shouting back and forth. And David shows up, and he hears this Goliath defy the Lord, talk smack on God, talk smack on God's people. And the soldiers are all there in their warfare. They're all there with their armor. They're all there with their swords. They're all there with everything. And David looks around and goes, "Who's going to shut this guy up? Who's going to take him out? Just because you are willing every day to get up and face the enemy and to acknowledge that you have an enemy doesn't mean that you're fighting it. It doesn't mean that you showed up to a battle." They had no intention of fighting a battle. Here's how we know that. Goliath every day came out and said, "Just send me one person. We'll battle this out. Mano a mano. We'll just fight this out." No one shows up. David shows up. He says, "I'll take him on." And Saul says, "Well, here's my armor. Here's my sword. Here's my this." And David says, No. I don't need any of those things. Now, I don't need fleshly ways to fight this battle. I'm coming at him with a rock. And who's the rock? It's Jesus Christ. And you know the story, right? Slings it around and slops him in the head. And Goliath comes down and they have this war of words. And he ends up chopping off Goliath's head. I think that's awesome. But here's the reality. The brothers were upset that David showed up. The brothers were mad that he showed up because they think that he's there just to watch the battle. In other words, they're lashing out at David for the very thing that they're doing. All they want to do is be involved with a fight. They want to be around a battle. Always want to be around the drama, pretending that they're really fighting against something, and they're really not. Just because you wake up and see something every day, just because you can acknowledge who your three enemies are, doesn't mean that you stepped up to fight. It doesn't mean that that you stepped up to watch the Lord fight. You're pretty comfortable every single day. It's become the new norm for you. I'm telling you, God wants something more for you. He wants to, end of the verse, save you. He wants to rescue you. He doesn't want you waking up tomorrow having the same fight. Man, you should shout hallelujah right there. But that takes me to my last point. If God is not fighting your battles, if you look around and God is not fighting your battles, can I just help you out here? You are on the wrong battlefield. You're fighting something that you shouldn't be fighting. You're worn out. You're being worked over by things you shouldn't be fighting. If God is not fighting your fight, if God is not fighting for you, then you are on the wrong battlefield. That ought to be freeing to us. That ought to be relieving to us. Now we know who the real enemy is. We know what the real fight is. It's when the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil get between me and God, and between me and where God would have me to go, and what God would have me to do. That's when the fight happens. And that's when I call the Lord and say, hey, yo, you recognize this? I wouldn't tell God, yo, sorry. Hey, Lord, I need you. I need you desperately to move right here. And I'm calling it out. And I sit back and I watch God fight the fight. I'm just willing to show up. And I'm willing to have the word of God out. I'm willing to step forward in faith with my two-edged sword as I'm clothed with the armor of God. Recognizing that I have a real battle to fight because I have a real enemy that wants to take me out. And I'm going to be tempted to be afraid. But I'm going to choose to fear the Lord instead. I'm going to choose to fear the Lord instead. And I'm not going to do this on my own. I'm going to call my brothers and sisters in Christ and say, hey, will you pray with me? Will you stand with me? Because I don't want to be alone when I take on the enemy. And when I realize I'm not alone. Because I'm never outmatched when I'm with the Lord. He and I are the majority. And I have confidence in my not-so-secret weapon. It's the Lord of hosts, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. That is the true fight. That is how we fight the enemy. It's not coronavirus. It's not stay-at-home orders. It's not being able to get enough groceries. It's not your rent having a hard time making ends meet or making even the utility payment. No, that's the time of the wilderness. And God has used this time of the wilderness to reveal what's really going on in your heart. What's really going on? It reveals the true enemy. It reveals where the enemy truly is at work. And he's going to do the same thing at Harvest Baptist Church. I'm praying that we would learn to submit and trust the Lord. And learn that God is giving us the juice by allowing us to be squeezed. Do not mistake this wilderness for a fight. Understand who your real enemy is. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the message, Lord, that you've given us. I thank you for the truth, Lord, that's contained in these verses. Lord, that we're not alone. Lord, that we're not isolated. Lord, to know, Lord, that you fight our battles. We just have to be willing to show up, to step forward in faith because we cling to the promises of your word. Lord, reveal to us the areas of our life where we've allowed the wilderness to be the thing that we fight against instead of being the thing that reveals what's going on really inside of our hearts and our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be magnified in our lives. Lord, that we would not resent what's going on, but, Lord, embrace it. And see you go to work. And see you do a miracle in the lives of your people, in the life of this church. Lord, I pray that you would wake us up. I ask all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Don't forget to be posting those pictures, sharing some things. Hey, don't forget, youth is meeting tonight by Zoom. College young adults are doing the same thing by Zoom. And then here this afternoon, we got about a four-minute video we're going to be sharing on the Harvest page. So parents can have some fun with their kids. I got a little bit of a challenge for you. Hope you enjoy it. Guys, I love you. Enjoyed this time with you. Love you guys. Bye-bye.